guys, welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Shanae, and I'm here with Bethany, Anise, and Dudley. So this month, we have decided to tackle gender-based violence and gender equality for our topic. And this episode, we'll be specifically focusing on sexual assault and marital rape and just that whole conversation. So recently, there has been a story that was on the news that has literally dominated social media and the news. And it was about a 40-year-old man impregnating a 14-year-old girl. And there was footage going around with the little girl going to his house in her school uniform. And I think she had said that they had had sex 5 times between like a year or a 2-year period. And there were quite a lot of mixed reviews on this. And it was the Minister of National Security. He basically said that it was not rape because it was consented to. However, I thought that the whole point of unlawful sexual intercourse is the fact that grown adults should not be having sex with children because it's wrong. You're an adult. You should be able to decipher right from wrong. And a lot of people on social media are basically saying like, oh, she knew what she was doing, X, Y, Z. All right, so basically, after QC Wayman Rowe made his statement, and also I think it was the director of public prosecutions because the man only had gotten 4 years, there was a lot of mixed reviews on social media. A lot of people called out the Minister of National Security and were basically, like, I would guess you'd say attacking him. And he came out and he issued an apology, and he basically was like, that people misunderstood what he was trying to say, and he explained it. So he said, this was a statement that he made, and this was posted on Eyewitness News. He said, I have spoken several times on the matter of a plea agreement, and I deeply regret that my answers have caused concern. I gave several interviews, and I hope that pulling the salient points together in one place can help you understand my position. So he said, anyone who has sexual intercourse with a child under 16 is disbarred, and anyone who does so will go to prison. The question is the length of their sentence. So, and he also said that it wasn't rape because she consented. And the law says that if you consent to it, even though it's underage, even though she's underage and he's an adult, that you would get 4 years. But if it was, you could get up to 4 years. But if it was unconsensual, then you could get up to 7 years. And I thought that, at least for me, that was very confusing. And a lot of people called out for like law reform because I thought the whole point of the law is to stop this, because why is it okay for a 40-year-old man to have sex with a child? I feel like no matter how much she wanted it or wanted to do it as an adult, you're supposed to be like, no, I am not on your run. No, that's no, point blank. There should be nowhere for her to go if she was looking for sex, basically. Y'all have any thoughts now?
I think that, okay, first of all, he said that we misunderstood what you said. We understood completely what you said. And you just reiterated it in a more legal way. I think, not to attack anyone, but I think that he's still thinking like a defense lawyer and not like a politician. Because yeah, those may be the laws, but at the end of the day, sex with a minor, whether it's consensual or not, should be illegal. They should be behind bars for the rest of their life, to be honest, because you should know better, and there's no excuse for it. People are going to jail for more than 4 years for drugs or just fighting or things that I don't think are as heinous and mentally traumatic as sex with a minor. I think his only response to that situation should have been a law reform. That is why people are so very upset with him, because he's just reiterating what's in the law rather than saying, hey, start an initiative to, or start a poll to get you guys' opinions on fixing this law. And I think that it's also a social issue where people keep saying, oh, she wanted it. But I know from experience and from seeing a lot of these seeing a lot of school children, female or male, come in contact with bus drivers specifically, because I've been hearing these stories since I was a child myself, of bus drivers grooming these younger children. So it's a social issue as much as it is a law issue, because I'm tired of hearing people say, oh, she wanted it. She was groomed into it because she's a child and she knows no better. Your brain doesn't even fully develop until you're 25 years old. So I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I saw someone had made a post on Facebook and he basically said that the girl is 14, meaning that she's going through puberty. And he was basically saying that these sexual feelings, they happen. And I feel like in Bahamian society, we like to act as though children don't have these feelings. We don't talk to them about these things. We don't educate them about sex. We just leave them there to wander. And I think that may also be an issue here as well. And as an adult, like I said earlier, even if she had approached him, he should have been like, hey, no, that's not. And to get her pregnant at 14, that's sick. Like, to have sex with a kid is one thing, but to get a kid pregnant as you could literally be her father. Like, hey, come on, man. Like, we gotta do better, society. And people trying to blame the little girl. Yes, she's a child. Yes, she made a decision. But at the end of the day, I really don't think she knew what she got herself into. And it's like she was just exploring her feelings that she was going through during puberty. And if you don't have someone to guide you, sometimes that can be misguided. And obviously you go to school, you talk to peers, and if you have other peers who are bad influence, then you start to wonder about things. You may start acting on those feelings. So I don't think people should really like try to make it seem as, oh, she's a demon child because she had sexual feelings. That is an age. However, she shouldn't have been able to turn to a grown man, or I would even say to a child. Like, we have to create conversations about this and get rid of the social stigma around sex specifically and start talking to our kids so that they can make better decisions and to be grow up into upstanding citizens, right? And they wouldn't think that having sex with someone 3 times younger than them is okay.
Well, my thoughts on the minister's comments, I tend to feel like a lot of people heard his comments differently. Like, while I respect your point of view of what he said, I also have my own interpretation of what I heard. And what I heard was, while he is a politician, I heard a lawyer speaking to the public. So I heard the lawyer speaking to the public in a way that allows every Bahamian to understand the constitution of the land. And although our constitution reflects on a society that has long gone and long has, you know, evolved into a new way of thinking, I feel like that was his way of trying to put it in layman terms. And that's how I saw it, because my coworker and I, we had a conversation about it, and he had asked me my perspective. And although I knew he was just trying to be the devil's advocate, I saw it in a different light than he saw it. And that made me think, well, especially when it came to a lot of people calling in his resignation, I felt that the anger towards the situation, I thought the anger should have been more so towards the law than the person who said it, because he was basically just saying what our constitution is and basically letting people know, hey, if I was a lawyer, I could have, according to our laws, get his sentence put down some more. This should infuriate everyone, every sane person in our society to demand our laws get changed. And I do not want this to be a long-standing thing where it takes months and months for them to amend the laws. This is something that could be changed in a matter of days and weeks. I don't know why laws like this need to take so long to change. While I get, like, the marital law may be very complex, something like this should not be. We should be the ones making these amendments for our kids, for the protection of our kids. This type of situation in other countries, that man would have never gotten such a low sentence. I looked up a law in West Virginia, and according to their laws, he would have gotten 30 years to life. So we have a very, very, very great issue when it comes to our laws. And I'm so glad that a lot of politicians and a lot of of the public are seeing this and demanding a change now.
So this is where I'm going to start, right? Bethany, I really want to get your interpretation, but I can't because, and this isn't an attack on you, it's just like, the man said, if this was my client, I would advise him to not take the plea deal. He wasn't saying that in some, like, let me show you all how the law works. He was saying, everybody says he's a former criminal defense lawyer. He was speaking as a criminal defense lawyer. That's fine. I can understand him being so tied to his profession that he might have a Freudian slip every now and then. He might forget that he's actually a politician instead of just a lawyer. But I did not hear this man at any point in this suggest that I'm telling you guys this so that you can understand that the law needs to change. All I heard him say was, I'm telling y'all this because I don't understand why y'all are freaking out. Because he says, it was unlawful sex with a minor that gave consent. And then he went on to make the comparison. If you commit manslaughter and I attack you, that's different from if I commit manslaughter and you didn't attack me. And he went on to say the facts of the case determine the sentence and so on and so forth. So I don't hear this man trying to tell us like, oh yeah, this is the law and it needs to change. And this is why y'all should be outraged about it. I hear this man saying, I don't understand why this man got 4 years in the first place because I wasn't going to tell him to take the plea bargain to begin with. That's what I heard the man say. And I think that that's what a lot of people heard. And that's why so many people are outraged. And I am a man. I am a 24-year-old man. The other day, after hanging out with some friends, I went to a liquor store, and standing outside the liquor store was a 12-year-old girl, or a girl who was a preteen or in her early teens. And the only thing that I could have thought was, Jesus Christ, that is a child. And the second thing that I thought was, good Lord in heaven, people want to have sex with children. And the part that pisses me off the most is, for whatever reason, Bahamian society cannot hide how much it truly despises women on a subconscious level, because for whatever reason, all the little girls fast, all the little girls just run away from home so they can go and sleep with their older boyfriend, all of this, that, and the next. But if it's a little boy, all this homosexuality demon taking over, and why would that older pervert do that to that young man? Even if the young man went and gave quote-unquote consent. So I don't understand why we as a society have taken so long. For those of us who are in this generation or in our age group, whichever one you want to say, we can see the problem, and we're trying to explain the problem. And it's like the people who are older than us are so, they are digging their heels in so firmly into the ground that they do not care about any form of reasoning. And he said, your brain doesn't fully develop until you're 25. Older Bahamians, for whatever reason, seem to not care. Why? Because the age of consent, which is outdated anyway, says that if you're 16 years old, you can say yes to having sex. And I think the head of the Christian Council, Delton Fernandez, he said, when you're 16, you can't drink, you can't vote, you can't drive. So how is it possible that you can give consent for sex? And I think that's really the argument that most people have anyway. You're a child. Even at 16, you are a child. And I think that we can all agree that if you, as a grown adult, whether you're a man or a woman, and you look at a child, whether that child is a little boy or a little girl, and the thought that pops into your head is, I want to have sex with this person who is clearly underage. You need help. I don't know what kind of help can be given to you. I don't know if help is just imprisonment, but you need help. at some level. And I think the most normal people in society can agree with that, because it is unnatural to look at a child, a literal child, and be like, ah, yes, that is that gets me going. That's weird. That's something's wrong with that.
Suddenly, yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with you 100%. And like, it's a cultural thing, I feel, because like, I don't know why people find children so attractive, because as a girl, from I was about 11 years old, I can remember being sexualized. 11. That is ridiculous. 11. And I mean, like, people know, because you can tell a child from an adult most times. And I'm not talking like 14, 15, 16 when they dress up and stuff. I'm talking like a child where I'm literally wearing, you know, them plaid pants with your parents has to put them in the matching, with the matching like pink shirt or the green shirt like that. Or I remember a few times I was in my school uniform and these people did not care. And it's sick. It's literally a mindset. And I feel as though our generation, the younger folk, we want to change these toxic cycles. But I feel as though it's the older millennials who have this idea in their head, like Dudley said, oh, the girls are fast. Oh, they want that. They want this. She wanted him so it's okay. He shouldn't be in prison. No, that's not normal. I'm sorry. That's literally not normal. Why do you think that's okay? And back to the Wayne Monroe situation with Bethany, I agree that I think that he was coming from a stance of a criminal lawyer, because that's the mode that he was in. However, I don't agree that he was like, oh, we should change this. Because he has a lot of, at least for me, I find a lot of things that he says sometimes questionable. And I feel like as someone in power, you have to be really careful with how you word things, because it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it and your delivery. So I think that was an important factor missing there. And I feel as when he got the backlash, he realized and he apologized and he explained in a better tone of voice, I guess.
I agree with Dudley and Shanae wholeheartedly. I do. Like I said, it is a social issue. And I didn't even think about what Dudley had said when he said that it's misdirected anger, essentially, because it does show how low a status that women have to the point where it affects us as children. And I think a lot of us can say that we've experienced it firsthand. It's sad that by the age of 18, almost every woman has experienced some type of sexual assault, whether it be verbal or physical or rape. I remember, and I've actually talked about this with multiple people, where they say that they got flirted with more as children from the age of 12 to 18 than they do from 18 and up. And that's sick. And with Bethany saying that he was going from the angle of a lawyer, I understand that. And I said the same thing. One, he didn't say that he was going to do any type of reform to the law, but the job of a politician is to propose new laws, to support new laws, to reject laws that are biased and unthinking, and to create new laws. And that's not what he's doing. He's just pointing out what the law is, and that's not okay at all.
While I understand that, what was the question that he answered, though? Do we know that?
Like, he wasn't answering a question. He was speaking about the issue that had happened of the female, the 14-year-old child being pregnant by the bus driver. There was no question.
Are we sure there was no question? Because sometimes journalists ask a question and then they record whatever is being said. And that is what the public sees. So in my journalistic mindset, I feel like there was a question asked and that he responded to whatever question was asked. But what I heard and what you heard was just two different things. I heard him as a lawyer, and everybody—
He's not a lawyer, he's a politician. In that job, he's a politician. If you want to be a lawyer outside of that, that's fine. And I understand, like, you speaking from a lawyer's perspective. But in that time, even if he was asked a question or if he was speaking about the issue, he was a politician in that capacity.
But if he was, okay.
And as a politician, you speak for the rights of people, of your people, of your constituents, of the general public.
If people were confused about the sentencing of the man, I think he would have answered how he answered. He would have gave the public the knowledge of the Constitution, because a lot of people are not going to read the Constitution. So in my mind, he was stating why the person got the sentence they got. And he informed the public how that person could have gotten a slap on the wrist even more so with the 4 years. So that's how I'm seeing it. And you're
people are confused about, people aren't confused about the law, you know, people are confused about the lack of foresight and his response, because that child, she's pregnant, she's going to have a kid, and she's going to be completely mentally unstable, whether she realizes it or not, because of that situation. And you saying that, it doesn't think about the feelings and the thoughts of that family, of that child, of people who've been through that issue. So yeah, okay, it follows the law, sure, but it does not tell with the public and people who've been through that thing. He's not thinking of it in an empathetic way at all. And as a politician, that's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I agree with that stance, but I also think there was a next video where he stated he didn't agree with that. And I'm pretty sure he restated it on Shanique Miller's show, where he said himself that he literally said the same things we're saying here. And so I'm seeing something one way and you guys are seeing something the other way. I think that our constitution needs to be amended swiftly. And according to the minister, he does as well. And so I don't know. It is what it is. I think he was just coming from a factual manner. And I do agree that his way of saying it was very inconsiderate and very passive. But when I heard it, that's what I got.
I respect Destiny's opinion, and I don't want her to feel like we're attacking her or we're all coming at her and it's like, no, Bethany, you heard it wrong. But at the same time, now, if he did later on change, like add something to what he said, or if he rephrased what he said, or if he goes on a talk show and, you know, changes what that or adds something to what he said, when we know that the minister is not shy of speaking his full mind when he has the opportunity. And so, like, everybody's saying that he said it in a better way later. He wrote a statement from his ministry, and that is what was presented for everybody. There is no tone in a piece of paper. There is just black and white ink. So he didn't change his tone when he released that statement. Now, if he went on another show and then he continued with what he said in his press release, and he had a more understanding tone or a more emotional tone, that is fine. However, this is where the intersect happens between Anissa's point of he's a politician and Bethany's point of he's a lawyer. So it could very well be that the criminal defense lawyered mind, Wayne Monroe, said what he said because he thought that that was the right thing to say, because the fact is, that is the law. That is entirely possible. And it could also be true that he said what he said in an effort to inform people of the law. Just how it's possible that the politician, Wayne Monroe, misspoke, and then later, after receiving more public backlash than he thought he was going to receive, especially from the younger voters of the party of which he is affiliated with, he went on a PR tour to appease the backlash that he was receiving. And I think more than likely, it's a mix. He spoke as a criminal lawyer, and then his politician brain kicked in, and he was like, oh no, what did I just say? I have to rectify this. But all of that is just speculation and conjecture on what we can think of the minister said. The fact of the matter is that we can all agree that the law of the Bahamas, the Constitution, whichever one you want to say or whichever one you want to look at specifically, puts women in a disadvantageous position when it comes to situations such as this. Because how can we live in a country that states the law of sexual consent is 16 years old. And then later on in the same document, go ahead and say that there is a different sentence for a person who is regarded as a child and a person who is the age of 14, but not 16, and a different thing. It's too much jargon. And Bethany said it best. It is reflective of an era that does not exist anymore. And laws don't necessarily dictate what is right and what is wrong from a moral standpoint. However, as society evolves, laws should evolve to reflect the mind state of that society. That's why the age of legal majority was reduced from 21 to 18, because society realized that there are a lot more 18-year-olds than 21-year-olds, and that's just the way it is. So I feel as though if we just accept the fact that all these laws need to change, which I'm sure everybody here does, because y'all are the women that are disadvantaged the most by this, and I'm just the guy that gets to look at all these laws in confusion and be like, damn, that's really what it's like to be a woman here? That's crazy. And y'all are just here like, yeah, this is life. This is life, sir. So, you know, we could ignore the minister for a bit and just all come to the one thing that we all agree on. Things need to change.
Well said, Dudley. And in fact, I think Bethany, I think he apologized because he saw the backlash, and a few politicians like Shana Don Cartwright, who's the deputy of the leader, he condemned his statement, saying that his opinions on consent are pungent and have no place in a civilized society. And even Chester Cooper, who's the deputy prime minister, he then came out and said that the legal age of consent should be raised from 16 to 8. So I think he was kind of doing it to save his butt. That's just my opinion.
Okay, so I will start by saying that my intentions were never to attack anybody. I didn't want to attack Bethany. I didn't want to attack the minister. I'm just very strong-willed about my opinion on this. I think that, and I will say that if he did make an apology and if he did try to rectify his statement, kudos to him. But I cannot put full kudos into it because it was a statement released by his department, like Dudley said. So there's no clear way of knowing that it was something that wasn't heavily edited. Yeah, I will say that I'm just very frustrated as a female and as a person watching these laws, as a Bahamian watching these laws affect us so much, and people just coming with political responses. Yes, you're a politician. Yes, you may be a lawyer. Yes, you may be a professional in whatever capacity you are in. But at the end of the day, these laws affect us in so many different ways, not just legally, not just by monetary value, not just, like, it affects us socially, and it's a burden to want to see so much change, but it not being done. You know, and I do say kudos to the people, the other politicians who responded, though I still can't even put much into that. It's hard to congratulate politicians when you see so much back and forth, because I feel that they see it as a game a lot of the times when this is our real lives. And that is disheartening sometimes.
What makes it hard for me to give politicians kudos when they speak up on these things is the fact that no matter how they want to look at it, no matter what they try to do, no matter how much they try to decry what he said, shame on you, wag their finger, make everybody be like, ah, you see, that's what he said. But as for me, I didn't say it. So look at me, I'm the better person here because I know what most of you want to hear, right? And the thing is that if you want to prove to me that you disagree with him that heavily, then you can just make him not the Minister of National Security anymore. If not, anything shy of that, I feel, is a placation. And this is just how I feel. it's a placation to the people, so that they can be like, he said it, not us. And then when he, you know, corrects his statement or updates it, it's like, you see, I'm actually on you guys' side. I was just saying what the law is. And I was speaking, you know, not of my personal feelings on it, but on what I would have done as a professional. So it's different, you know, it's still me, the one that you voted for. So, and I think the biggest example of it was the prime minister. Either he typed it himself, or the person who helps him with his Twitter, or whoever runs the Twitter account, made a very beautiful statement about how, you know, we have changed the laws of society because we cannot allow adults to feel as though they can get away with having sex with children. But my thing is, this is just a reminder. You, as a politician, do not have to come on Twitter or any social media site and tell me that things must change. You are literally the person that is in control of things changing. I don't want to hear that you're an advocate. Now, if you're an ally to some cause, that's one thing. But I don't want to hear that you're an advocate to something, because we don't need your advocacy. We need you to do something. You are the person that gets to do something. Wayne Monroe is one of the ministers who gets to do something. And so I don't want to hear that this is wrong. This is terrible. You shouldn't have to wait until the next child gets diddled with before we do this. We should take action now. The laws need to change. We agree with you. And you know we agree with you because we said it before you. You get to change it. So I would really love it for you to get the ball rolling on changing it rather than getting the ball rolling on telling me you're on my side.
Yeah, Dudley, that is exactly what I had forgotten to say before. An apology is an apology, fine, but it doesn't take back what you've said. You can't redact a statement in real life, like, as much as we would love that. Once you've said it, you've said it. Once people feel how they feel about it, they feel about it. Like, you can't go in the future and take it back. You can't. Those words are out there. Those words have already affected people. So the only thing you can really do is amend the laws, make a change, take a stance, take a strong stance. If you really were so set on saying that those laws need to be amended, I can't accept verbal apologies, because we've been accepting verbal apologies for so long and not seeing a change. I want to see a change. And I think that's what a lot of us, at least in my age demographic, that's what we want. We want to see the change. We want to see actions, not words, not apologies, not Twitter posts, not Facebook posts, but actions, a law, a referendum, something.
Yeah, I agree with you guys' statements, you know, but I have another question that's also been a burning topic recently in the last, I guess, few weeks. It's the conversation of marital rape, which QC Wayne Monroe was also the forefront. And he's basically saying that it would be complex and that a lot of other things would have to change. And I believe that he also made a statement that saying that we would have to look at marriage differently, because if you say that marital rape is a thing, then you would have to look at cheating again, adultery again, I think is what he said. And I'm not picking on Wayne Monroe. It's just the fact that he is the Minister of National Security and he has a lot of say in certain things, I feel. And I feel like sometimes what he says affects us and what is his position in parliament. And I feel like he should be on our side. And I feel like a lot of people are against the whole marital rape thing. And I think they're really thinking of it as, you're denying your husband X, Y, Z. But my position on it is, if you are married to someone and you tell them no, and they want to have sex with you and they force themselves on you while you're kicking and screaming, I feel like that is just a sick individual. That's just my thought on it. And I feel like a lot of people like to bring religion into this, but I have one question. Do you think Jesus would rape his wife? Come on now. Like, y'all really just OJ Wilding.
All right. This is the topic right here, because topics like this always make give me a bad feeling, because the first thing that we can always see is the divide between the ages. All the younger people trying to add these things and saying that you could rape your wife, and that never been the case before. And, you know, the younger people telling the old people, listen, it ain't like this no more. So let me tell you something. My father is 73 years old, going on 74 years old. This is almost verbatim what he said when I asked him about the situation of marital rape. He was like, if you really think that you can't rape your wife, then you are an idiot. And there's no reason for you to continue to talk, because you ain't making no sense. And he, you know, and my father has a lot of views that are very progressive for someone his age. But that's neither really here nor there. The point is, right? As a grown man, and I feel bad that I have to keep saying I as a man, but a lot of times the men be the loudest ones talking foolishness. So I just want to remind them that I am also a man. However, I want you to know that you ain't making no sense. So I feel as though if I get to a point in my life where I get down on a knee, ask you to marry me in front of whoever I invite to the proposal, and then we go through all this process to get married, and we say I do in front of whoever else, we sign all these papers, I feel as though I have spent a good amount of my life not being your husband. I spent a good amount of my life not having sex with you. This is the case for a lot of people, unless you married your childhood friend or you or your high school sweetheart and whatever. But it's like, I spent a very good portion of my life without you. I have you forever. In theory, I have you till death do us part. You're trying to tell me that the woman who you go wake up next to tomorrow, if she tell you today she don't want to have sex, you can't wait 24 hours? Like, you went so long without having sex with this one woman that all of a sudden things change. You have a quote-unquote right to do this. So you know what? I thought that this was very hilarious because this once again came from Twitter. And somebody said that if a man feels as though he can have sex with his wife even when she says no, because she quote unquote owes him that. That means that if a woman wants to have sex with her husband and she chooses to use some toys to penetrate him, he also has no right to say no, because he owes her that. And if you as a man can't accept that, then you do agree marital rape exists. You just refuse to be losing in this case. Because come on, bro, it's one night. It might even be two nights. It might be a week. But this woman loved you. She could say yes again. She will say yes again. She just don't want to do it, mate. Like, this ain't a foreign concept. Women was telling you no before. You didn't rape them, so why you can rape the person that you quote unquote say you want to have them to hold through sickness and through health for the rest of your life, so long as you may live. I confuse. And y'all men is make every man look bad, because y'all is be saying stupidness, and then y'all is want to turn around. And before y'all said, y'all is want to say, and I speak on behalf of all the men in this room, or I speak on behalf of all men when I say, you do not speak for me, bro. You need to stop talking for me. Never represent me with your words again. But that's just me.
So before I give my opinion on it, I'm going to read something that the Bahamas Constitution Party servant leader, Ali McIntosh, said before anyone says that we're being biased and we're only going by a quote-unquote female perspective. So this is a female perspective that is the opposite of what we're saying. She says, only sex after involving the beating and wounding of an individual in marriage should be considered rape. This definition is considered the both in the Sexual Offenses Act and the Domestic Violence Act. A woman who submits her will to her man in marriage cannot withdraw it anytime she wishes. She is duty bound to lovingly submit when the time for loving is required, and he equally must submit to the relationship if the need is there to wait. You have a comment on that?
I find that very interesting that she is saying this. I'm sorry, but I love how people view women as objects. We are not objects. We are human beings. We have feelings. We have needs. We have wants. It's always what the man wants. Oh, the woman has to submit to the man. Okay, but why? What is your reasoning? Huh? What is your logical explanation besides religion? Please tell me. What is it? We're human beings just like you, just like everyone else. And it's like, it just goes to show the indiscrepancies in gender equality and how some people, because it's men and women who have these thoughts as well, that we should just do this because, like, I feel like if a man truly loves you, he's going to respect your opinion. He's not going to just take what he wants from you. Why do you have to have that much control over someone? And I mean, sorry, man, this conversation, like, this topic gets me heated.
Yeah, that's why I read that, because at the end of the day, it's deeper than we ever thought it was. It's about viewing a human being as a cattle, as a object, because why isn't submission vice versa? Why isn't submission from woman to man and man to woman? Why do I have to? And there's, she said in her statement, it's not rape unless the person is beaten before. But if you're held down, if you're mentally abused, if you're forced into thinking that you have to do something that you don't want to do, that is abuse in itself. It doesn't have to be physical. Mental abuse is just as damaging and hurtful. It even affects your physical form, mental abuse. So for you to sit there and say that, I cannot stand for that. I'm completely against it. And it just shows how much our laws are so archaic in seeing women as cattle, as less than. It shows that our laws, all of our laws, need to be amended because they're archaic.
We live in a society, and very much told a lot of time, that people are entitled to their opinion. Everybody has, you know, opinions are like mouths. Everybody has one. But here's my problem, right? We like to pretend that you can't have an opinion that's just wrong. Because a lot of people have opinions, and a lot of opinions are just wrong. If you woke up tomorrow and said, in my opinion, the sky is orange, and I look up and I can see that the sky is blue, that is your opinion. You are entitled to have that opinion. Your opinion is also wrong. So the idea that rape is only rape if you beat somebody before it, let me tell you what. That is an opinion, because according to the English language that we all speak, and according to one of the most famous dictionaries, I pulled up the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of rape. So the first thing that it says is, rape is unlawful sexual activity and usually sexual intercourse carried out forcibly or under threat of injury against a person's will or with a person who is beneath a certain age or incapable of valid consent because of mental illness, mental deficiency, intoxication, unconsciousness, or deception. So what you just heard, according that, and that's not a law definition, that's not a legal definition, that is the English language definition of the word. So it doesn't matter if you hit a woman before you force yourself on her. It does not matter what preempts the rape. The point is, if I, Dudley Turnquest, decided that I wanted to sleep with Bethany. And Bethany says no. And I say, but we're married and I'm going to do it anyway. I have just raped my wife. That is not a difficult concept to understand. We all understand. This is what I want the older Bahamian crowd, or this section of the Bahamian crowd, to understand, right? The same way that you get outraged that a grown man can force himself on a young boy is the same way that I need you to be outraged when a grown man forces himself on a grown woman. Because the problem is, the only way that I will ever say I could quote unquote understand a rapist is if that person is literally mentally insane. And I mean, they are diagnosed. Those are the only instances in which I could say I understand that you're doing it, because you need mental help. If you sit down in yourself, like just sit down and really think for a moment, wow, this person is going to be mine for the rest of my life. And tonight is the night. The one night of the year that she told me, or he told me, that they don't want to have sex. And just think, and like, just think, don't even think about yourself doing it. Imagine a stranger was going to do this and how that person would kick and scream, because obviously thinking about your spouse's kicking and screaming when you do it don't do you nothing. It don't deter you, because y'all are still go. So just imagine if a stranger did this and how you would want to beat the life force out of that person. I hate being the same gender as some of you men, because y'all is just go too far, and matter rape is one of those stances that y'all is go too far in saying that it doesn't exist.
And women, because that was the purpose of me reading Miss McIntosh's statement, because even women agree.
Oh no, there was when the one thing that I, before I got distracted with being so upset at the thought of this, the one thing that I think is also important is that when the issue was brought up at the PLP meeting of men, and there was a woman in the crowd, and she said, anytime my man wants it, I'm ready. And then she went on to say, if I'm sleeping, that's the best time. I was like, either the Congress, the whoever PLP women need to come and get you and have a talk, or you need to just stop talking, you know, or you married now, you're an object. and why is it that you want to pretend that a woman can't rape a man? If you a woman and you rape your husband, you just as bad. But y'all,
anyways, Dudley, not laughing at the situation. It's just, you got to laugh or you can cry. But just like how Dudley had said before, think about that person, not as your wife, but think that's somebody's mommy, that's somebody's sister, that's somebody's cousin, that's somebody's daughter. Like, because I think I've heard it so many times before. If someone were to touch me, or if someone were to do this to me or my family, it's over. They get all the backlash and penance that they deserve. But if it happens to someone else, somehow, some way, it's a different situation. And that's not how life works. I actually wanted to hear Bethany's opinion on this. You've been pretty silent.
Well, in regards to marital rape, I do believe it exists. I believe a lot of times people hide behind the one verse in the Bible that says why I should be submissive. However, they dismiss the rest of the chapter where it says, but men should love their wives as Christ loves the church. And that's something Shanae alluded to earlier when she said, do you think Jesus would ever rape his wife? And when she said that, that reminded me of that particular verse. Men should love their wives like Christ loved the church. And one thing goes with the other. You can't get one thing and then not commit to the other thing, because then that would just be in itself, you know, you would be doing something wrong, because I mean, that's just scripture. When it comes to just societal structures and the mentality of society, I do think that there's a lot of opinion, and my opinion lie with the rest of you. I do believe in the sanction of having marital rape as a law. I believe that it has been something that has been going on for a long, long, long time. But I also want to insert that like Dudley said, women rape men as well. So we're not denying the fact that that doesn't happen, but it more so happens to women. And, you know, as we focus on gender biases and gender cases, I think that we should have an open mind to all genders and not, you know, just particularly talk about one.
I was going to read the scripture. So this was Ephesians 5, 25. I think I'm going to read it to 29. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself."
And this is why a lot of y'all don't need to get married, because y'all don't even like yourself. Out here forcing yourself on these innocent women. Y'all are auntie women, and I figure y'all out. I figure y'all out.
Dudley!
I don't know how obvious it is, but this topic bothers me a lot. And you know what? It all goes back to the fact that we like to say that we're a Christian nation and then cherry pick different parts of the Bible. And anybody who hears that and says that they disagree with me, I so want you to just, you know, tell me why. Like, tell me why. Like, show me an instance of the Bible being quoted in full that supports your entire point. Please do, because you just heard the scripture about loving your wife. And Sinead, I asked y'all if Jesus would rape his wife. And some of y'all would still say Jesus can't rape his wife because they married. And that don't make a lick of sense. Again, non-neurism thinking about this.
Very insightful conversation today, guys.
Yes, I agree. You guys, we're turning into another episode of Funded. We hope that you enjoyed the show and maybe gained some insights. I don't know. If you have any thoughts, you can leave them under our post for this episode on Facebook, which you can follow us at Candid242. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd also like to wish Guardian a happy 10th anniversary. And because of the upcoming holiday, there will be no show this weekend. Keep it real, Bahamas.